All right, so with Mother's Day can be kind of an emotional time. There's a lot that comes with Mother's Day sometimes. Some of us in this room, some of you listening online, you had a great mom. Your memories are good. And some of us, maybe we didn't have such a great mom experience, and memories are maybe not so good. Or maybe we never had a mom growing up. There are those situations we know of. And so on a day like today, I just don't want to overlook that. And again, I'm certainly not saying anything to anybody that's already said Happy Mother's Day several times today, right? But I think we just got to be careful and realize that there's a lot that sometimes that can go in behind something like that, not trying to take away from healthy relationships, because I know there are some, but I also know that there are a lot of unhealthy relationships. Even in my own life, my mom and I had a good relationship early on, but then when she got sick, then it kind of deteriorated, and I don't know if that's as much on me as it was on her. It doesn't matter now. But I remember those last few years, it was just not what I had hoped for in my mom experience. Also connected with Mother's Day is the assumption that you have children, right? And again, some of you here today, some of you listening online, maybe there's some pain, maybe there's some sadness on a day like today because you were unable to have children. Maybe some of you have lost children to either death or a wilderness experience. I was even reading a story earlier today about a man. He's a great Christian leader right now, but his mom gave him up for adoption at 3. Because she could not provide. And it wasn't until he was later in his 60s that she reconnected with him. And it was a great story, but again, he did not have a mom except for those that adopted him. So again, Happy Mother's Day can be interpreted in several ways, right? But regardless of where you are in life, and I just feel like this week as I was just kind of dwelling on this and thinking about this, I mean, I think that, again, those of maybe us that have healthy mom relationships and we don't think about maybe some of the pain and the hurt and the sadness that can go into some of these situations. And just even for you moms that have children, and whether you have one child or you have 5 or you have 20, I think you wrestle with, and as a woman, I think you even wrestle with, and I know, guys, it sounds like I'm going to only talk to them, but you need to listen because you could get some things here this morning that may help in those relationships. But I think moms and ladies constantly just wrestle with this. I mean, they've had this mantle placed on them since they are a woman, that there's something about them that's motherly and they need to do motherly kinds of things. And so I just think there's some rejection. I think there's some self-doubt. I think there's even a sense of failure. Did I do this right? I mean, Lisa and I have had these conversations with our own kids and our own brokenness in our own marriage and relationship, and how much of that transferred to our kids. And did we do this right? How many mistakes have we made? Am I doing this right? Have I done anything right? You question whether you made the right choices along the way. I love the T-shirt. One of our daughters, I think maybe both of them have it. I don't know for sure, but mommin' ain't easy. Mommin' ain't easy, you know. It's not easy to be a mom. It's not easy to be a mother. It's not easy to be a woman in those responsibilities. Some of you single ladies in the room, imagine you even have questions as you see the decay in our culture and the issues that we face. Do I even want to walk into this arena? So one thing that's really important, it's really profound, and I want you to just catch this, super important, super profound. Every one of us had a mom, or you wouldn't be here today. Hello? Pretty profound, right? I studied all week for that. Every one of us did have a mom. Think about it. She laid down her life for you. It's the closest thing to the gospel message that we really have of the sacrificial love of Jesus Christ. That a mom, when she takes on that seed and begins to bear that burden of developing that life inside of her for 9 months, and then she gives that birth of that child and wants to die on the moment, there's probably nothing much closer than that to the sacrificial love of Jesus, who gave his life, laid his life down so that you could have life. So part of this is that in a day like today and in these moments like now, maybe we haven't been always the best in our relationship with our mom, but I believe there's time and space always for grace, right? We'll get to that here in a minute. There's a passage of scripture that is a lot of times referred to and read in on a Sunday like this, Mother's Day. It's Proverbs 31. Every woman probably in the room knows about Proverbs 31, right? The impossible thing to do. Proverbs 31 woman, right? She's perfect in every way. She's stellar. She's amazing. She's like supernatural. She does everything right. Everything's in place. And most women who read that passage go, well, I'm good for her because I sure can't do that. And it really, the goal of that chapter is not really to make women feel like less than. On a surface reading, it can look like that. But really, what's behind that verse is verse 30 that really encompasses the whole section that's talking about this woman who does things so well. Verse 30, this is it. Charm is deceptive and beauty does not last, but a woman who fears the Lord will be greatly praised. So here's the essence of that verse. What you do as a mom or as a woman, which is very important, is not nearly as important as who you are, which is very critical. Because your legacy, moms, ladies, for any woman, one who fears the Lord, that will last for a lifetime. Fearing the Lord is simply one who has an intimate relationship with Him and worships Him and reverences Him. The fact that this woman in Proverbs 31, that she truly fears the Lord, shows that she had a real relationship with Him. And she was not only, catch this, ladies, catch this really quick. She was not only a Martha, but she was a Mary. She was not only a Martha who was very busy about the day-to-day things like the Proverbs 31 woman describes. She did this, she did that, she sewed this, she sewed that, she made this, she did dinner 4 times a week, all that superwoman stuff. But she was a Mary who could take time out of her life and her busy schedule for her kids and her husband and still bow at the feet of Jesus, which is the most important relationship she would ever have. In her business, in this description of this lady in Proverbs 31, in her business, she never forgot who she was on the inside and whose she was. Ladies, especially younger ladies, the world is painting a picture for you all the time about beauty. It's an impossible way to truly live. The culture that we have and the pictures and the media and all that that suggests a certain look and a certain style is just impossible to live up under. That's why Proverbs, written thousands of years ago, would advise us well. The charm is deceptive and beauty will fade, but the fear of the Lord will last forever. You will be greatly praised because of your relationship with Jesus. There's a lot of mothers we could look at in the Bible, and I'm just going to pull out kind of an interesting one, and it's the mother of Jesus, our Savior, Mary. I can't imagine what Mary must have went through when her and Joseph were in a relationship, minding their own business, and the Spirit of the Lord intersects that relationship and says, hey, by the way, I have a different plan for you. I want to read out of Luke chapter 1, and then I just want to talk about this just briefly. In the 6th month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a village in Galilee, to a virgin named Mary. She was engaged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of King David. Gabriel appeared to her and said, "Greetings, favored woman, the Lord is with you." I always think of angelic visitations, and I think I would just freak out if somebody said, "Don't fear, I'm here. Who are you?" And as a woman, "By the way, you're going to be pregnant here in a little bit." "Oh, really?" "Greetings, favored woman, the Lord is with you." Confused and disturbed, Mary tried to think what the angel could mean. Said, "Don't be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with the Lord. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus, and he'll be very great and be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David, and he will reign over Israel forever. The kingdom will never end." In a moment of time, Mary and Joseph get intersected by the Spirit of God, and everything changes. Mary, a young girl, and who thinks her life is going to go in one direction, in one way, then God intersects her life with a different purpose. Mary has this son, and like most mothers maybe in this room or who are listening, began to love that child, teach that child, and raise that child in the way that she knew. By the way, she didn't have all the books that we have today, all the self-help parenting books that we have. She didn't have the internet to Google, "How high is too high for a temperature for my son?" And by the way, this rash under his arm, I'm not sure what it is. You know, all she had was the fear of the Lord. All she had was her relationship with her Heavenly Father, who had intersected her life to let her know that her life was going to change. I can't imagine. It says she was confused, disturbed, but the emotions, I mean, having joy at some time, having confusion at others. I'm sure there's a lot of ladies in this room who have had kids that joy and confusion probably goes hand in hand most of the time with your day-to-day frustration at times. So this morning, I'm going to give you a verse, and we're going to use it a couple times throughout the morning. Proverbs 16:9. By the way, the proverbs are there for us. They're wisdom literature. They're written as wisdom literature, and you would do well. I would do well. I've done it before, but we do well to just read through that on a regular basis. I've done that through the years because there's a lot of stuff in there, and it was written from someone super wise, and we could glean a lot from it. Proverbs 16:9 says, "The human mind plans the way, but the Lord directs the steps." You know how many times we've had plans in our minds and then we thought it was going to go this way, and then God intersected and it went this way? I can remember, our oldest daughter's not here so I can talk about her. I remember growing up, and I was the same way. She probably got it from me, because when we were young, Lisa and I, before we were married, even after we were married, I don't want kids, three kids later. We actually had a fourth that's in heaven, one of them's in heaven. And then our oldest daughter, same thing, don't want kids. And then six later, "Be careful what you say, young ladies listening this morning. You probably should just say, yeah, give me all the kids you want." That might be dangerous too. The human mind plans the way, but the Lord directs the steps. Now, to try to touch and reach and contact every point of reference this morning with each lady in the room would be very difficult. That's not my goal. But I do have a few things to pass on to you. First, I want to reemphasize that we have thoughts and ideas of how things will go, right? But God's going to always be orchestrating the steps. He's always controlling the orchestration, even our missteps. Those of you who have been in recovery for anything, or those of you who have been in a sanctification process of your life where you have messed it up so bad, but yet you've seen God just take all those steps and continue to orchestrate a path for you that is better. You understand what I'm saying? You thought it was one way. You had a determination. You were going one way, but God was in it to redirect you and take you another way. He's always orchestrating. But the second thing I want to emphasize to you this morning is God is in your story. God is in your story. Regardless of where you are, God is in your story. Now listen to me carefully. There's a song that's by Big Daddy Weave, and I think Katie Nichols is her name, and you've heard it because you K-Love fans eat this stuff up. But listen to me. There are ladies in this room who've had a divorce. There are ladies in this room listening online who've maybe had no biological children. There are ladies in this room listening online maybe who've never been married. There's a lot of dynamics. And again, can't even begin to paint the picture. Touch every need. But let me remind you, God is in your story. And the story goes on. The song goes on. He's in the details. He's in the broken parts. Amen for that. He holds my heart, and he never fails. When I'm at my weakest, I will trust in Jesus. Always in the highs and the lows, the one who goes before me, God is in this story. Talks about the book as if your life story is in the book, and there's torn up pages that and words that describe that you're no good, and these things have defined you for so long. Now listen to me carefully, all of you who are in this room. Yes, ladies, yes, moms, but listen to me, men as well, young children, whoever is listening right now. When we mess up and when we have a story that is, I was long defined by words that never really what God's had for me, right? We understand that. We grow up under a definition. I grew up under tremendous rejection, and I believed the lies of rejection for years, that I was not good enough and that I was always going to be a failure. Some of you live under that now. So if the storm you're walking through feels like it's too much and you wonder if he cares at all, anybody relate? You wonder where he's at sometimes in the midst of the storm? Not too long ago, I was driving. And you know how it is when you're driving and it starts to rain? That's when you remember you need new wipers. Shoot! Why didn't I buy those last week? I was in the old truck the other day and I was doing some stuff and it started to rain. One of the wipers flipped completely off of the truck. I don't even know where it went. Oh, man, I knew I needed to get wipers. Why didn't I do that? So I'm in my little Civic, and I'm driving down the road, and it's raining, and then it's raining, and it's raining. And I mean, then it went into that whiteout rain, that downpour, and like my little wipers were going so fast, and I'm going, oh, Lord, please hang on, because I don't know if those wipers are going to last, and I don't know if I can get through this storm. Can anybody relate to that? I mean, it's so fast and furious, and it hits you so quick, and you're in the middle of it, and you're thinking, can I get through to the other side? Because if your story is about addiction or if it's about a disease, he is your healer. If your story is about depression or a broken home or a lost child or whatever, he is in your story. And even though it's difficult to see that right now, he's in your story. In a moment time, he intersects, and then all of a sudden things change. But there's one more line in the song that says, he won't leave you here alone. And I think that's what we need to cling to this morning. He won't leave you here alone. When Mary was faced with the insurmountable task, get this, it wasn't for a little while that she put all the dots together and crossed all the T's, but she'd been told that she was going to birth the Son of God, Jesus, the Messiah. That ought to be enough to make anybody wilt. It wasn't until much later that she was really beginning to put all those pieces together about the fulfilling prophecies and the future of her son. But to know you are going to birth the Son of God, how would you like to be like, you know, somebody's mom, like, who's somebody rich? Who? Yeah, you don't like to speak those names out, do you, right? But just somebody rich and famous, and that you were told that in the beginning, your son or your daughter is going to grow up to be so-and-so. You'd wilt under the pressure. So, he won't leave you. Whatever you're facing, whatever insurmountable task you face as a mother, as a woman, as a man in this room, he's not going to leave you alone. And I just want to give a closure to this part of our time together this morning, and then we're going to go into another area of discussing a few things. Exodus 20:12 says this, honor your father and mother. You're going to live a full life. Now, as adults, we tend to throw that to our kids a lot. Ten Commandment, you better honor your father and mother. You're going to die. I'm going to strike you outside the house. You know, honor your father and your mother. Your life will go well, right? Well, can we fast forward into adulthood? Do you know there was a season in my life where I really struggled to honor my mother? Because things had changed in dynamics of our relationship, and again, sickness and bad health and those kinds of things. And boy, I really resented her for a few things that she didn't do when I was younger. Like when I know that she knew that I was walking through a lot of rejection and a lot of personal struggles, and I know that she knew that, and then she did not help me walk through that because I had confided in her, and you get the story. And so what I had to learn later in life as an adult is even when they're dead and gone, maybe when they're not even around, maybe when they're not even in your life and they're absent, you can still release that to God because he's the healer of all things. And there's been a season of restoration there for me. I had to forgive my mom, and she probably didn't even know. And it's not like I can go talk to her right now. If you're listening right now, Mom, I love you. But you get what I'm saying. So young people, even all of us in our seasoned years, right? It's never too late to wish the best for our moms and our mothers, because you wouldn't be here today if it wasn't for her. And because of her sacrifice, because of her giving her life, you are here today. And because of Jesus, you can have eternal life. And that's the best gift ever. Charm is deceitful. And beauty is constantly fading. But the fear of the Lord, you will be greatly praised. It's the best legacy that we can leave, folks. Whether we're moms or dads, the best legacy that we can leave is having the Martha-Mary relationship where we're busy doing the things that we need to be doing to take care of our homes and provide for our families, but be the Mary, the spirit of Mary, that bows down at the feet of Jesus and has the intimate relationship. That's the best legacy you'll ever pass on to any child or grandchild. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you for this time that we've had this morning. Thank you that we were able to honor our mothers, encourage them, hopefully bless them, hopefully validate them for who they are and what they've been to us through the years. I do pray that your spirit would encourage well, encourage the ladies of our church to find their value not in what the world says, but in you. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.